Hey, Mark, I got some caribou on the grill.
Rare?
Yeah. You want some?
No!
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale! God is camping!
We are the wild and crazy
guys! Well, they're both festive, aren't they?
And we are the festive foreign film fans. Well, happy Thanksgiving weekend, Mark, and post Black Friday.
That's right.
So if you remember when we were talking about my uncle Antoine,
yes,
and in Quebec, and we had already learned how to say Merry Christmas in French. So we decided to We looked at the tribe that was up there, and we learned how to say Merry Christmas in that tribal language. And we kind of made a side mention, like, wouldn't it be fun if we could find, like, a Native American Christmas film?
Yeah, I mean, who knew, right? I think I love how we challenge ourselves to this, right? It's
and we're excited because we did rise to that challenge. But before, because we are celebrating Thanksgiving on this weekend and and a holiday to give thanks for all that you have, it's a great thing.
It is.
It's a great custom, and I'm so happy that we have it.
Yeah.
So, Mark, what are you thankful for?
Well, you know, as we sat around and, you know, thought about, you know, the year and the year past, right? I mean, we're always thankful for friends and families and things. You know, obviously we're very thankful about being grandparents, but you know, one of the things my mom used to always say, which was, you know, it took me years to sort of appreciate this. She always said, I'm thankful that I'm thankful. And, you know, what she meant by that was, is that, you know, so many times people just take for granted certain things. They take for granted people, you know, their physical goods, their health and stuff. And, you know, she said, I never want to stop being thankful for the things I have.
I, you know, when you first said it, I'm like, it's almost like a brain teaser. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
but you're right. I mean, that's awesome because it's not any particular thing that necessarily you should be thankful for. You should be thankful that you have things to be thankful for.
Yeah, and remember to be thankful, right? Yes. Because sometimes people don't even take the smallest thing and really take a minute and say, wow, I have had good fortune, or, you know, I have good health this last year. So what about you?
Well, the thing is, though, I am living through the joy of, for you, I would imagine, with the, you know, not two grandchildren, Christmas coming up. It adds that a whole new element to have small kids back. I mean, I can't wait for the day that is the case for me.
Yeah, it was so much fun last year. I mean, Jackson literally tore a 1/8 of an inch strip of paper off each present that he got. So I think this year will be a lot of fun. I think Lena, you know, at 6 months, maybe won't fully get it, but I think she'll be dazzled by the lights.
Yeah, the lights, and they just get excited to see those things, and it's so fun. And I mean, we had a great year too. But you know, now I'm fully adopting your mom. You know, I have a job, I have a wonderful family. You know, I live in a house. I mean, those are all, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my mom was full of a lot of wisdom, and she would always remind us too that, you know, There's always someone who is worse off, and there's always someone who could use your help.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she was the, She would ground us really well all year round as well as at Thanksgiving. So
when you said that, that's what I thought. She would ground you like, yeah, you're in good trouble. She'd ground you all the time.
Well,
yes.
No comment.
So, and I want to believe in light of tonight's movie that it was the Indians, the Native Americans, who came to that first Thanksgiving and taught the pilgrims to give thanks to, you know, the Great Spirit.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. We'll talk about a little about traditions where it was really kind of about the Great Spirits, right? But really, the Christianity part of Christmas was really brought to the Native Americans by those who settled in America. So what's your kickoff? What's the first things you did after Thanksgiving to kick off the Christmas season?
So this is obviously a big weekend. Because I kind of got the community involved in the community decorations, lights and that. So we have a community tree that we put ornaments on. So I decorate that tree and I usually do that. So we have Thanksgiving. So on Friday I did that, put all the decorations up for that. And the lights will go on this weekend for the Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. My home lights, and this is now, it's like we started pulling the stuff out. Years ago, we used to not even pull the stuff out until this Thanksgiving weekend. Now we pull it out and we have it all ready to go. In fact, I should, I like to say we don't put our decorations up till after Thanksgiving, but we start way before. So I say it's completed on Thanksgiving weekend. So, it's decorating. And then, my calendar. I have my calendar all ready to go because I like to be prepared. Come December 1st, I like to do something special every single day. I like to. Now, I don't always do it. And that's also, it's not just doing things, but it's also, doing kind of good things. And, I'll give people, hand out lottery tickets. I'll give away gift cards, things like that. Just something to recognize the holiday.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'd say that really the very first thing I do is I get out the box of Christmas CDs and I play music. So even on, when we're cooking, and by we're cooking, Sue's cooking and I'm cleaning up for Thanksgiving dinner, we're playing sort of, our favorite Christmas CDs. So this sort of starts to mesh together. But we do have the lights up. And we're ready to go.
That's great. So it's the music. Yeah. Once the music kicks in, the season has begun.
Yeah. And we won't talk about how some of the local Chicago radio stations start playing Christmas music even like at the end of Halloween.
Yeah. No, like, yeah. Usually November 1st. Yeah, boom. Exactly. Yeah. It's all Christmas all the time.
Exactly. But yeah, let's talk about our movie.
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
Today's movie is called Christmas in the Clouds. It was released in 2001. Some of the actors are in it, right? There's really like three main characters. There's another guy I'll talk about a little bit later, but the main character is Ray Clouds on Fire is the character in the movie. He's played by Timothy Vahale. Timothy Vahale is not indigenous, but he is playing a Native American role. He was actually born in Chicago, and he's best known for this movie and also an episode of Wishbone, which I love Wishbone.
Yes, I do too.
And I want to go back and look and see where he is, which is a popular PBS television show about a dog and who sort of relives famous literature.
So, I one time heard a podcast about Wishbone and oh my gosh, like all the tricks that dog could do and how good he was trained to wear all those costumes. It was amazing.
Very good. So Ray Clouds on Fire is sort of the main character, the main love interest. Tina Little Hawk is the character name of Mariana Tosca. And Mariana Tosca is an actor who's also appeared in Parenthood, So I Married an Axe Murderer, and the movie The Doors.
Oh, on the band. Yeah.
Yep, okay. On the band. Yep. She is actually Albanian and Greek, although not Native American. She's adopted. She has been adopted into the Sauk and Fox tribe as the daughter of the tribe's chief.
I wonder if that was because of this movie.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't find that. I thought that self, but I believe that I'm going to go with that. Mm-hmm. She's also a social activist. She serves on the boards of Save the Chimps with Dr. Jane Goodall.
Wow.
Yep. She's also serves for the $10 Club, which assists in developing underdeveloping countries. She also is works with elephants and wants to preserve elephants as well. And that organization is called Elephant Voices. And she's also in the Academy of Music for the Blind and also Born Free USA. So a very philanthropic type person.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yep. She founded the Los Angeles Homeless Coalition, where she also served as a campaign advisor for several candidates in California. So very socially active. She's adorable in the film, plays this very sweet, sweet, sweet person. Mm-hmm. The third person I would highlight is Joe Clouds on Fire, which is Ray's dad. Mm-hmm. And that's played by Sam Valojas. Sam is also not indigenous. He's of Greek and Mexican descent, but he also played several North American characters, including Little House on the Prairie. Gunsmoke.
Wow.
So he's a little bit long in the tooth.
Yeah.
And the Powwow Highway. Although he's had an extensive acting character and worked in television movie, his greatest love has always been the theater.
You know, what's a little disappointing, it seems like because of these three principal actors, none of them are indigenous, that this isn't a true indigenous film, but there are a lot of indigenous actors in this film. Yeah. It's kind of unfortunate that this doesn't give that impression, but it's important to point out there were, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah. And remember the context of the time. So it's in 2001 that this was released. Siskel and Ebert actually did review this movie, uh-huh, and actually gave it a star rating of 3 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
And I thought some of the commentary was interesting because they felt like this was one of the first movies that had been released that is focusing in on the Native American families. Mm-hmm. And to your point, there's a lot of support characters that are Native American. But they felt like this was from beginning to end, a really positive portrayal of the indigenous people, their culture, right? That previous movies, this is 2023, think about 2001 prior, that really so many of the Native Americans were not portrayed in a positive light. And they really felt like this movie was very good. It was a great rom-com, but also really promoted the Native American culture.
Which, if you think of it, there is quite a family element through this, and you do see customs and traditions sprinkled in through the movie.
You do.
Throughout it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this could be on any Hallmark channel movie. One thing I did differently for this movie, Bob, interesting. So we've talked about where we typically watch the movies. You know, on this one, Sue actually sat down and watched the movie with me. So usually, you know, I know you've talked in previous podcasts. I do the same thing.
I should have the smarter family member here then.
Wait, I think you just dug me there. I think you just dinged me. But it was interesting because most of the times, like, I'm busy taking notes and stuff like that. But, you know, it was like we just happened to have this free afternoon. And I said, hey, you know, do you want to watch? And this one actually is on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. And so it was fun to watch it with her. You know, I'll share some of her comments later. But it was just a different experience than sitting there taking notes and ready to review. But the movie is set in Nevada or Utah, sorry, and it's a rom-com. And think about this movie. The backdrop is that there's this beautiful ski resort that's being run by Ray Cloud, and it's not doing great. It's not doing poorly, but it's just struggling a little bit. And so,
this, hey, can I interject something? Yeah. Because I hadn't thought about this until you mentioned, you just described that review. You know, what isn't here in this film is a casino. There's right. no casino. And I'm thinking just fairly recent portrayals of, you know, in Yellowstone and yep. some other movies I've seen, typically you have, it's always about the Native American casinos. And there's always this kind of syndicate type element, only right. it's the indigenous people That's syndicate. Right. So you're right. I mean, there's no casino here.
Nothing, right. No. Which is what Siskin and Ebert both commented on when they did the review. And so I have to correct myself. So the film's actually set in Utah mm-hmm. During the holidays, right? So everything's all festive. And it's operated by the Native American Nation. Ray Cloud on Fire is this overworked manager who's returned from college to run the struggling ski resort. He's tipped off, right? This is where it starts against you. He's tipped off that this national review company, right? People, companies that go out and review with like a TripAdvisor.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, right? They tell you that you apply to have your place reviewed. They tell you when they're coming, they just don't tell you when, and just don't tell you who that reviewer is going to be. So he's been tipped off that this person is coming, and so he decides to pull out all the stops, make sure everything's perfect, gets everybody together, say, you got to be on your best behavior, we need this, and so he's all excited about this, and so almost like over focus. So there's Ray at the ski resort, then there's Tina, right? So Tina is... a young woman, she's a widower. She has been corresponding with someone, and she is sort of in her life in New York City. She's downplaying her Native American culture, and so she hasn't been using her Little Hawk name, and so she's been corresponding. And she tells her mom and her grandma, like, "I'm gonna go visit this guy. Like, I need to see him. You know, I've lived my life. Unfortunately, my husband died, but I'm going to go visit them. I'm going to visit this person and just put myself out there."
And they are true pen pals. I mean, yeah. It's like letters, you know, even though it's 2001, they could have been emailing. No, they're, yep. you know, longhand.
Longhand letters talking about each of them talking about their losses, right? And so Tina is thinking, you know, she's writing back and forth with a much younger person. However, she's really talking to the dad, you know, Joe Cloud on Fire. And, you know, he's a much older gentleman who's been widowed.
Who was last young on Bonanza. Who was last,
right. Again, yeah, exactly. And so they're corresponding, you said, going back and forth, sharing, right? They have this shared grief that they're working on. You know, I think he's trying to find his place in life. I think he's lonely, right? His wife has died. He's not really interested in the hotel and running the hotel with Ray. And so, so you got Ray all excited about the hotel. Tina's going out to meet the love interest that she's been riding with. And you have Joe, who's just looking for companionship, right? Yeah. And it's you know, my favorite character. I have two. One really my favorite, the chef.
The chef. So, who is Native American.
Who is Native American. And he is he's the chef. But he's a vegetarian chef at this beautiful resort and restaurant. And the one part where, you know, he's going around, he's greeting the guests, and he's trying to talk them into vegetarian meals, right? We have this pasta, we have this and stuff. And the one part, the guy goes like, "Oh, this beef is so good. This is like, what do you call this beef?" And he looks at me and goes like, "We used to call him Bob." Like, the guy just pushes away the food. So the other person who I didn't mention in the beginning was Stu. So Stu is the actual TripAdvisor reviewer. And one thing that about Stu, just to mention, is that he's played by M. Ernest Walsh. Mm-hmm. M. Walsh has been in Fletch, Time to Kill, Raising Arizona, The Cranks Christmas, or Christmas with the Cranks, you know, he's been around in acting for 50 some years.
Well, and he's a great character because you recognize him, don't you?
Immediately.
And the other great thing about him, perfect person to pick to send because he doesn't strike you as someone from a fancy review company at all.
Yeah. And if, you know, I don't know if all his characters have been someone who has a drinking problem, but many of them are. So,
he just needed a rumpled coat like Columbo, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So those are the four main. So you have Ray anticipating this reviewer to come in, Tina wanting to meet the love of her life. Where it gets fun is Tina arrives. You know, she's greeted by the hotel desk person. And so she comes in. They all identify her as the reviewer.
Right.
She and Joe have a great relationship, or she and Ray rather, start like getting romantically involved. They start, you know, he thinks she's there to review the hotel. She thinks that he is her pen pal.
Yeah.
And so they start sort of this whole relationship with the wrong impression.
And when they're talking about it, they're kind of talking past each other, and some of it they don't understand, and some of it makes sense.
Right. Well, he said, do you always do this? Right. And thinking like, do you always have dinner and like sort of go on a date with the owner of the hotel? She's like, well, I haven't done it a lot, but I would say I always do this. And he's like, well, that's crazy. Right. Yeah. You're going to review my hotel, but we're going to go on a date. Oh, okay. You know, and then you have Stu comes in. Like you said, he's all frumpled, grumpy. He's got his hair sticking out. The last thing you would expect to be a professional writer on hotels. And he comes in and he's, you know, no one suspects he's anything but just that some kind of tourist, right? And turns out, too, that he has his trouble, right? He's on the road all the time. He's kind of a grump.
Yes.
You know, he's not really in touch with his daughter a lot. And so, you know, you have all these different things happening at different times. And it just sort of leads to this, all these different misunderstandings.
Yeah, right? Everything goes wrong with
everything
this.
Everything goes wrong. You know, like I said, so Tina and Ray, you know, finally kind of get mad at each other because Ray is thinking like, you're just using me. And she thinks, well, I came out here and expressing my true love for you and you're not saying anything. And then you have, you know, the dad who is working with Stu, the advisor, and invites him to go play bingo. And they go play bingo, and at their bingo games, they give out Jeeps.
Yeah, I mean, this is bingo, intensive bingo.
And so they go out, and Ray really wants, or Joe really wants to have that Jeep, but then Stu wins it. He gets mad and jealous, so he takes them on a back road, and they get lost. And so, right, all this stuff is falling apart, but then all of a sudden, with the disappearance of Ray's dad, Joe, things start to get serious, right? And he's worried, and Tina's seeing like, oh, this guy's probably a little hawk is seeing that this, he's probably a really good guy. I should really try to get to know him a little bit better. And so little by little, things start to sort of come together, yes. Right? Like Ray's.
And the truth comes out.
Yeah. You know, the old dude, you know, and the girl start like go off on their little own, and they talk a little bit about their pen palship and realize that. In fact, at one point he says, I was expecting you to be a lot older. And she's like, well, I expect you to be a lot younger, like your son. Right. But they do kind of resolve their differences. Stu hurts himself and has to be taken to in a helicopter to the hospital, and then he's still mending, and his daughter comes to visit him. So it really does kind of all come back together.
And I didn't think of it till you said it. It does have all the elements or the trappings of a Hallmark, the misunderstandings, the city girl coming in. And I don't want to say that disparagingly, because it actually, and I think the Native American element adds a whole new layer to it.
Yeah, that's where it's going to go next. So throughout the movie, right, you do see the whole community part of the Native American families, right? They come together on Christmas Day, right, to give thanks, to celebrate the Christmas morning. You also see that all the people who are working, they're all part of this, maybe not actually related, but relate it in their culture, relate in the fact that they're there for the success of the ski resort. How the movie ends is really good too. I'm not going to share the ending, but you know, there, I will say this, the cliffhanger I'll leave in the end of the movie, there is this mad rush, right? Cause you know, Waitina and Ray have sort of reconciled that they're not angry with each other. They're not back together. Ray goes racing to the airport to meet her. It doesn't end there, but you have to watch what happens.
Yes. Exactly.
But it was a really, really good movie.
And was it festive?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's funny. I said, going back to like watching a movie with Sue. So I'm going to give my rating and Sue's rating.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah. Right?
So we both thought it was festive.
Great.
Yeah. How about you?
Absolutely. And in fact, I like the element in there where they're doing the music, and it has a very Native American, but it's the traditional Christmas carol.
Yeah. Right. Silent Night.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Exactly. So very festive, and even the surroundings of it are wonderful. And then what'd you think without the feeling?
Oh, I love it because, and this is maybe classic rom-com, but you got drama, you got humor, you got, you know, emotion, you got love, it's hitting on all the cylinders. You know what I mean? So you're being brought along and you're invested in the characters and you're loving it as it goes unfold. So yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I think the last two movies, we've been very in sync. I agree. I think it's a feel good movie. Mm-hmm. It really is a feel good movie. Would you watch it in the future?
So I have to admit, I have watched this a couple of times because I really enjoyed it. So yeah, it's one of my favorites.
I would watch it in the future too. And again, what I like to do too, what we've done so far with this podcast too, is try to give context to when it happened, when it was filmed. Like you said, I love how you brought out there was no casinos or all the other sort of negative connotations of the Native American culture. So I think I would watch this again and, you know, kind of reflect on the time that it was filmed mm-hmm. and what a positive impact it had for the indigenous population.
And you know what, I think because there are some elements with kids in it and stuff too, it's a good family film to watch, you know, with all different ages, I think could appreciate the movie.
Yep. And would you recommend it to someone?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I would.
Yeah, I agree.
In fact, I'm going to go home and recommend it to my wife and make her sit down and watch it with me.
Well, you know, I told Sue not to tell Mary Ellen that we watched it together, right? And I almost asked, texted you and said, do I have your permission to watch it with my wife? But decided not to do that. Do you know how to say Merry Christmas in Navajo?
No. Do you?
I do. Well, you know, it's interesting, right? I mean, again, just researching, since there's over 500 distinct Native American languages spoken in North America.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. And I'm going to do 500 different ways to say. Maybe not. But like I said, the movie was in the Utah area where the film was set. There are five major tribes located there, and one which is the Navajo. So, and they're the second largest in the U.S. And so I thought, like, maybe we'll focus in on the how to say Merry Christmas in Navajo.
Okay. Great.
So to say Merry Christmas in Navajo, which really means good wishes at Christmas time, it's Ya'e Kishmas. Ya'e Christmas.
You always pronounce it way better than me. I don't know what it is, but you, Ya'e Kishmas.
I think that's right.
Kishmas.
Yep. Again, it means good wishes at Christmas time. But let's talk a little bit cultures. We touched a little bit on this before. You know, the introduction of Christmas to Native Americans was at times considered a little bit controversial, right? Europeans brought Christianity and imposed it onto the Native American communities. I think we learned that all in high school.
Yeah.
Replacing their own spiritual beliefs and those with those in the Bible. However, it is true that some tribes accepted the Bible and Jesus' teachings voluntarily. Indigenous people had been observing the winter solstice since ancient times. And many Native American people found that the story of Christmas and Christ child's birth fulfilled that tribal prophecies.
Wow.
So,
really?
Yeah. So it was sort of like some of the things they believed was coming together with these new teachings. And many tribes, the Christian communities or customs became interwoven with the Native culture.
And I would say in this film, you saw that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You saw they had the Christmas customs, but they were very influenced or colored by the Native American culture.
Very much so. Very much so. The earliest known North American Christmas carol was written in the tribal Wandat language in the Huron Wandat people. The song is known as the Huron Carol, and it was written in 1643 by a Jesuit priest.
Isn't that amazing? So our very first North American Christmas carol comes from Native American people.
300 plus years
wow.
ago. Yep. He used similar images he used similar images so that Joseph was dressed as indigenous people. The wise men were chiefs and were wrapped in rabbit skin. Hunters took the place of the shepherds, and chiefs brought gifts of fox and beaver furs.
Ah, so to relate to the Native Americans, they used images that they were familiar with.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Right
on, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Mark, next to the Native, or next to the naked Santa Clauses, I am going to have an indigenous manger scene.
Well, you're going to need a few more things for your manger scene, right? Because the manger animals were a fox, a buffalo, and a bear. So I suggest...
How awesome is that, though?
Yeah.
What a great scene. I'd love to see that one.
Exactly. So he took all these things and put it into a carol to make Christmas maybe a little bit more relatable for the Native American families. We always have to talk about food, right?
Because we got to leave here hungry.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, this after I read what the meals consist of, I'm like, I'm looking for a celebration someplace. Tribes often host a special feast on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day with traditional Native foods of salmon, walleye, shellfish, moose, venison, elk, mutton, geese, rabbit, wild rice, collards, squash, pine nuts, green chili stew, Playboy bread, peaky bread, and bannock, which is kind of a fried bread. So,
oh my gosh,
like that sounds wonderful. I'll take just six or seven of those things. They have a pine torch procession, and then participate in ceremonial dances that continue for about a half a week.
Oh my god! Now, see, I love that, like a pine torch procession. That's great.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, because oftentimes we're younger and scouts, and we learned, right, that, you know, crumbled up pines with our flints could make, if they're dry, could make a great, you know, incendiary things to get your fire started. Yeah. So putting a bunch of pines together kind of made sense to me, but we have to try it.
I wish I would have known when I put the Christmas lights up to turn them on in Trout Valley, because we could have had a pine torch procession.
And then after they sort of eat, right, there's special dances that include, the buffalo and the eagle and antelope and harvest dance. So like they, sort of are playing out those characters with their dress, right? Dressed as buffalo and antelope and stuff like that. And the Christmas dancing is always held, as led by the elders initially, but by the third or fourth day of their celebration, the children have taken over. I don't know if that's tradition or soreness.
And that's true of our Christmas too. The kids ultimately take over.
That's right.
I love all these customs. It would have been kind of fun to see a little more of these in the Christmas in the Clouds. You know what I mean? That would have been cool.
I think so too. Could have expanded the awareness of the culture a little bit more. Some pretty cool stuff. What about music?
Should we listen to some music?
We should.
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that? least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
This episode's song is by Phyllis Sinclair, who's a member of the Cree Nation. Her Cree name is Songkeeper Woman.
Not surprised. That perfect.
Yep. The Cree are a North American indigenous people, and this song is written in the Cree language. It tells the story of the first Christmas night and the birth of Jesus. The title is Mano Owasis, which means beautiful child in the Cree language. Let's listen.
Musto swak kitwak kukus peit muna makamato minu awasi kiwisa kitten.
I don't know if you heard, but the song features the traditional native musical instruments. There was a rattle, a drum, and a flute.
I could tell. You could hear them. I mean, it was awesome.
Right. I mean, yeah, it sort of stood out. But some of the lyrics include lines like, "Be with me, I ask of you, Great Spirit. When I go through the stars, be with me."
The Great Spirit. I love it. Mark, I got to tip my hat to you because we got now the Navajo language and Cree. You know, we cover two different tribes there. That was great. That was really nice.
It's interesting that there's like 500 different dialects.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to take us down, but think about how did they communicate with each other, right? Pre Europeans coming on the land, right? I mean, I wonder how many their disagreements and their fights were because they couldn't really.
Because if you think about how many languages in Europe, maybe 25, Now I guess I suppose there's some dialects in there or whatever. So maybe at the most 100,
yeah.
500, yeah. Wow.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some overlap, but I found that fascinating. Yeah. Bob.
Yes.
We've been focusing on Native Americans and how they adopted our traditions. But let me ask this question. If you were to explain our Christmas customs to a foreign visitor, so our customers, Christmas traditions in America to a foreign visitor, what is a common holiday or ritual ceremony that is uniquely, I'll say it one more time, uniquely American?
You know, it's tough because I think I'm influenced because yesterday was Black Friday, so I'd say shopping, our largesse and going, which is, maybe I feel like the excess is uniquely American. But, and you know, maybe I'm not being fair to our foreign listeners, but one thing I would say that truly is part of the season that at least I don't know if it's uniquely American, but it's an important part of it, is generosity at this time. I mean, you hear, food pantries, charities and all that. They get overwhelmed at this time of year. And actually, we should get better about doing it throughout the year. But the one thing that Americans definitely do at this time is they give.
That's a great answer. That was... And that is I feel the Christmas spirit just with your answer.
And you're glowing.
I am, and I feel so bad about what I'm about to say because that's a very thoughtful answer. I immediately went to really negative stuff. like Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah, okay. Well, but you know what? Uniquely, now that is uniquely American. You're right. You're right.
And then the other one, I thought of you when I thought of this. Wait, this is going to sound wrong. I thought of you, but ugly sweaters.
Just because I'm sitting in one right now?
there's got to be a different word than ugly. but I like your answer a lot.
Yeah. You know what, though? I love, I know you're saying you're thinking it's bad, the superficial Elf on the Shelf, but the whole, when you talk about uniquely American, putting a spy in someone's house to spy on their activities. I'm like, oh, uniquely American. That's awesome.
Exactly. I don't even want to. We should have an episode just on Elf on the Shelf.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe we can post some, go to our Facebook page and we'll find some odd Elf on the Shelf things I've seen.
Exactly.
But To close for tonight, maybe we'll just go a little bit more positive. You know, each episode we always give a little bit of quote about Christmas. A little bit different. You know, our last show, right, we talked about Jolly Life and what a great movie that was.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about after our last show, as I was leaving the studio, there was a piece in there in the movie where they're in the mall and there's the kids singing and stuff like that. You know, I'm going to leave you tonight with a couple of verses from that song, which I think embodies make that generosity, the Christmas spirit and stuff. And so in that song, there's a bunch of kids singing. And the two lines I'd say that just really struck me is what I want Christmas season to be. It's hello, hope. Goodbye, sorrow. Every day is a gift to us.
You know, that scene, right when you described it, I know exactly what it is. And what I love is, if you recall, Rosie is in the middle. He's in jumping around and he's excited and the kids are singing. It's a wonderful moment. But that you recognize the lyrics. That's awesome. That is great.
Yeah. So that's what I hope everyone's Christmas holiday is as you go through the next couple of weeks, is that every day is a gift to us. And so let's appreciate it. So thanks for the show tonight.
Mark, your mom would be very proud.
I hope so. But don't forget.
And let's belt ourselves in.
Yes.
We're ready to go.
We are ready to go.
We're ready for liftoff.
Let's go. And don't forget, leave your comments, your suggestions on our Facebook page. Comment where your favorite listening spot. We appreciate all of you. And get ready for a rocking holiday season.
You know, you're the best to remember that. I always forget to. And when we talk about a Thanksgiving episode, I'm thankful for the people that put in their time and listen to us. You know what I mean? I enjoy talking to you, Mark, but I also love to hear from the people who listen and enjoy what we do here.
I agree.
Actually, we're done.
Done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. Over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.